We continue with our walk through the book of Joshua today, and today we come to that well-known story of the fall of the city of Jericho. And really, everything has been building to this point. And Jericho, in this particular instance, represents the idea that we can save ourselves. In a positive sense, it represents the idea that the Lord alone can save us. But when it's populated by the idolatrous nations of the Canaanites, then it becomes the opposite. And so it has this carries this idea of we can do it. And associated with that is the idea that we attribute what is good and what is true to ourselves. In fact, we see ourselves really as autonomous and independent from the Lord. And so everything that we have, we possess as if it is our own. But we know that everything is from the Lord. And this journey that the children of Israel have taken is really bringing them to this place where they can see that it is the Lord and the Lord alone who can save them. Because the Lord is what is good and true, and the Lord dwells in what is true within us. And it's by means of these truths that what is represented by Jericho can be destroyed. But we have to see that the Lord is indeed the Word, that He is these truths, because when we truly see that, then we will no longer attribute what is good and true to ourselves. And so this journey, if you recall, began with the spies being sent out from Shittim. And we saw that these spies is that initial phase of life that involves looking into the inner world of our thoughts and affections. So they represented the first stages of self-examination. And they got information about the general lie of the land. And we saw that these spies, they actually went in to Jericho. And while they were in Jericho, they were taken in by Rahab the harlot. And we saw there that Rahab, she is an affection for what is true, that is able to take in and protect what is of the Lord, even in the midst of our own selfish approach to life. So the Lord uses Rahab to protect what is of Himself so that this city of Jericho can ultimately be brought down into the dust. And we saw that with the children of Israel crossing the Jordan that they were led by the ark. That is, they were led by the Lord's word. They were led by truths. And so it is we too need to be led by truths. We have to bring ourselves into obedience to the Lord's word understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines. Outside of Jordan, through that wilderness, they walked by obedience, through external compulsion. Fear of God is what led them. But now as they cross over into the land of Canaan, there is a shift in state. And now there is a desire to follow the Lord. And this represents our own progression. We have to come to a place where we willingly want to follow the Lord. Operate from self-compulsion, not from external fears. And so this represented here, this crossing is represented here. So we read in the Arcana Celestia 8505 that prior to regeneration, a person acts from obedience. But after regeneration, from affection, from a desire for what is good and true. And then we saw the children of Israel at this place called Gilgal. Gilgal, where the reproach of Egypt is rolled away. And that reproach we saw is this living under obedience as opposed to living from affection. And when we live just by mere external obedience, what we find is that we struggle to overcome the things within. Because when we're living from an external form of obedience, we are not acknowledging that the Lord is truly the one who can save us. But at Gilgal, there's a rolling away. Circumcision takes place there. Things of self and the world are cut off. And so deeper heavenly loves are becoming much more established in the life. And this is where the power of religion is then to be found. So that purification represented, that circumcision represented purification. The doing away with self-sufficiency, doing away with pride in one's own intelligence, doing away with any sense of confidence in the good that we think we possess, doing away with confidence in ourselves to save ourselves. And with that, there comes the cessation of manna as the form of food. And then we are able to eat from the land, the fruit of the land. And this represents eating from that land of milk and honey, taking in sustenance, being able to order things, being able to get into the Word, being able to extract from it what we need for our life. And all this builds to this point, which is this place called Jericho. The destruction of our reliance on self. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So our reading this morning is Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 27. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march round the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, 'Shout!' Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came up after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take out the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Now, reading this morning from the teachings of the church is from the work The Apocalypse Explained, number 700, part D, subsections 16 and 17. The sounding of the trumpets by the priests signified the proclamation of divine truth from divine good. The shouting and acclamation of the people signified consent and confirmation. Compassing the city signified a survey of falsity and evil and their dispersion by the influx of divine truth from the Lord. This influx was signified by carrying the ark about it. The priests were seven in number, and the city was compassed 7 days and seven times on the seventh day to signify what is holy, and the holy proclamation of divine truth, seven signifying holiness, and in the contrary sense, profaneness. And as there was holiness on one part and profaneness on the other, there were seven priests with seven trumpets, and the city was compassed 7 times. The gold, the silver, and the vessels of brass and iron were put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah, because these signified the knowledges of spiritual and natural truth and good. Gold and silver, the knowledges of spiritual truth and good, and the vessels of brass and iron, knowledges of natural truth and good, which with those who profane are changed into direful falsities and evils. But as they continue to be knowledges, although applied to evils, they are serviceable to use with the good by application to what is good, and therefore these things were put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. So the Lord wants us to be truly happy. He wants happiness for every single member of the human race. But we're born with a whole raft of tendencies towards what is evil and false, and these are tied up in our heredity. And so the happiness that the Lord wants to bring us into is this land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. It is the heavenly life, states of true joy and happiness. These are the things of heaven. But that land is occupied by these idolatrous nations. We've looked at some of these already. But in general, they can be called the Canaanites. And so the Canaanites represent these inherited tendencies towards what is evil and false. And simply what that means is towards selfishness, living for oneself. And with that comes the great falsity that we have life in and of ourselves. This is one of the biggest things that needs to be overcome in the spiritual life. And so what we find is that throughout this journey that the Israelites undertook, they're constantly being confronted with enemies. And these enemies for us are these things in us that are tied into false beliefs and particularly negative traits and emotion. Things that look to pull us down and that we use to pull others down with as well. Now these structures, well, these can be formed into structures like strongholds within our mind. And in the word, this is what these cities represent. The city of Jericho is a stronghold within the mind. Stronghold of a belief that we can save ourselves when it is occupied by the Canaanites. And so this city is made up of those who dwell within and its wall. And so we see that there are two things that need attending to in pulling down this city. There is the wall of defensiveness, which are those reasonings that we put up to defend what's within that city. That is, lusts of what is evil and false. These things dwelling in that city are protected by a wall of argument, a wall of justification for how we feel, how we think, and how we behave when we do so in a negative way or an uncharitable way. So what this story about Jericho is teaching us is how the Lord goes about pulling down what is of the hells within the natural mind. And it is the Lord alone who pulls these things down. And we can see that in that in terms of coming up against this city, in terms of the destruction of its walls, the Israelites just marched around it. According to the Lord's command, they marched around it, but it was the Lord who demolished it. And so as we grow in the spiritual life and we develop an affection for what is good and for what is true, and we begin to really live from that, what we find is that what once roamed the land becomes more contained. So those evils and falsities, those desires that are of the world and of self, our elements of selfishness, they begin to be shut up, closed in. Because as we gain knowledge of truths, we begin to see what it is or what constitutes the heavenly life. And when we begin to see that, we can see in contrast what is not of the heavenly life or what doesn't promote it. And so those things, in a sense, become bounded and nothing moves into it or out of it. And so Jericho becomes a city that is shut up. There is no movement in or out of the city anymore. And so this life of that the Israelites have led and the things they've gone through up to this point represents our own progression. And so now they've moved from Gilgal and they've come up to this city. And they recognize that this enemy of them taking the land has to fall. It has to fall. This cessation of traffic has to do with a spiritual discipline. It's tied to self-examination and self-observation. Noticing when our thoughts are not aligned with what the Lord's word teaches. Noticing the quality of our affections. These things have to be brought into captivity. Captivity by means of the Lord's word. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, we have a wonderful statement there from Paul, which says, "For walking about in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That is, we do not war or battle according to what is natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or natural, but powerful to God to the demolition of strongholds, the demolishing of arguments and every high thing lifting itself up against the knowledge of God, and the bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ or to the Lord's divine truth. So we see that it is the word that is the means by which this conquering takes place. The faces of the children of Israel. It says that Jericho was shut up in the faces before the children of Israel, or before the faces of the children of Israel. And this idea here is what is more internal. The face represents what is internal, gives expression to what is within the mind. And so in the scriptures we have this statement a lot, before the faces. And so this tells us that it's when the interior things of the word begin to make themselves known, so there is power for things to be closed down. Things that once harassed us and harangued us can now begin to be shut down so that the Lord can deal with them. So what does the Lord command the children of Israel? Well, the first thing is that they have to march around this city. And so the first thing we see here is that there has to be the application, if you like, of truths to the examination of the things within our life. From the application of the word to work on ourself, that is through self-examination, we then are given a perception or an insight, if you like, into what those false ideas we hold on to are, what these strongholds in our life support. And as I mentioned earlier, the main thing here is this idea that we can save ourselves, that we claim goodness to ourselves. I'm okay. And by that goodness, we somehow fall into the trap of thinking that we merit heaven. And of course, if we're thinking that way, that we have earned heaven, then we are far from what the Lord's word teaches. There is no merit in us. The Lord alone has merit, because He alone is holy and righteous. And so we have to move away from this self-sufficiency that dominates our life. Pride in our own intelligence. These things have to be put down. Every thought that exalts itself against God has to be brought into obedience, into the captivity that the Lord provides for us through His word. Now, it is interesting to note that the Israelites, they don't attack, nor are they commanded to, the walls of the city. All they do is they walk around its fortifications. And so we can see that what this process is within us is the examination of our own walled cities. Examination in the light of what truths teach. Because when we truly see what truths teach, then those walls, those defenses that we set up and justify selfishness, can no longer stand. When we truly get a hold of what the Lord teaches concerning Himself being the Savior, then everything that exalts itself against Him must fall before that truth. Nothing, no falsity or evil can stand before the Lord's word. Just can't do it. So when we are troubled internally, when we enter states of negative emotion, when we think in a wrong way, all of this can be tracked back to one thing. We are claiming what is of the Lord for ourselves. That is the root of every evil in the human condition. The Lord alone brings down the defenses of the opprobrium. But he doesn't work apart from our understanding of truths. And this is why it is so important that we study the Lord's word and we study the heavenly doctrines. And that we take what we learn and we put it into life. Because if we don't have things understood as a matter of life, then these things that are negative can get a hold of us. And so we must constantly work at this. This is a lifelong commitment. Our development and growth in the things of the Lord goes to eternity. It never ends. And so as we are engaged in that process, the Lord can work with us. But if we aren't building our understanding of truths, and if we aren't taking those and living from them so that they can lead us into good, then the Lord cannot do what he wants to for us. He cannot bring us into the happiness and joy of the loves of heaven. He works by means of his word within us. That's how he works. He doesn't come down and just sort it all out for us in a moment. He requires us to be a part of this work. He requires us to do what he asks of us. And if we would do that, then he is empowered within our life to bring about the ends that we seek, a happy and joyful life. So the process is demonstrated here, the instructions are given. And the instructions are important because it teaches us how it is the Lord goes about doing that work of pulling down these strongholds. We see the number 7 recurs time and time again. 7 priests, 7 trumpets or ram's horns, 7th day, around the city on the 7th day, 7 times. This number 7 represents what is holy and what is complete and what is full. And it is a number that is really a description of the Lord as he is in his divine human. The Lord as he is in the fullness of power in the Word. That's what these numbers describe. And the fact that it had to take place, you had a 6-day period, then the 7th day. Well, the 6th day, 6 speaks of temptation and struggle. The temptation and struggle in letting go of our ownership over our life, giving it up and allowing the Lord free access to our life. The importance here of the ram's horn. Trumpet was a ram's horn. And of course, lambs represent innocence. And so here we have the full maturing of innocence formed in this ram's horn. And a horn signifies power, the power of truth. And so what we see here is the proclamation of the Lord's word through the life is what brings about this destruction. It's part of the process. And so that ram's horn, it gives shape to, and it's a structure through which the breath is formed into a trumpet sound. And we speak with the breath. And so truths are spoken with the breath. And so as far as the Lord, this is the Lord's word taking form in a structure of innocence that has been built up. And that innocence is a willingness to be led by the word. So as we are willing to be led by the word, so this ram's horn is formed. And it gives a channel for the Lord's word to be trumpeted out and heard within our life. And what we see there is that these priests carrying these ram's horns, and remembering the priests being that within us which is obedient to the Lord's word that serves the Lord. And so in front of these priests, there are the fighting men. Truths that have been fitted out for the task of self-examination and from that leading to repentance. And so, and these proceed forward from the ark. And in this particular setup, in this particular order, the ark sits at the center. Because the ark is the word, the divine truth itself. The priests is a willingness to be led by the word. So that the trumpet, so that the divine truth can be heard loud and clear in our life. And that flows into these fighting men. This blast is going on behind them as they march forward. And these truths are the truths that are involved in the examination of our thoughts and our affections, so that we can see their true quality. And what comes behind is what is termed in the translation we read today, the rear guard. The rear guard. But actually in the Hebrew, these are those, or the upgatherers is the literal rendering of that word. Those who gather up. And they are said to be behind the ark. Whereas those who are before the ark, or those fighting men, are before the faces. Again, that term faces are before the faces of the priest with the trumpet. And those priests with the trumpet are before the ark. But behind the ark are those who upgather. Has the idea here that is used of those who harvest, who gather up things. And so what we see now is that it is the application of truths that are at the forefront. And that the gatherers, the upgatherers, are those who gather up, pull, or those faculties within us that pull into our understanding what can be gained from putting truths into practice. This is the formation of a new understanding. So the application and the understanding is growing. And that's what the Lord's going to use to pull down this wall. The next thing they were told was that they were not to make a sound until Joshua commanded them to shout. They were not to voice anything. They were to remain silent until Joshua gave the command for them to shout. Joshua is the word that fights for us. Shows the level of obedience required. Not to make a sound here speaks of not speaking from self, not rationalizing things, but only to speak from the Lord's word and from doctrine, to think in accordance with the word understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines. This is what brings down Jericho. If we try and rationalize it and figure it all out and think that we can do it, falling back into self-sufficiency, nothing can happen. But if we truly are reliant on the Lord's word, if we are living from it, if we're in that effort, if we're engaged in the disciplines of self-examination and repentance, then we will hear the Lord's word speaking to us. The shout will be commanded, and the walls of Jericho will come down. So we deal with those false reasonings, because when you understand the word, what falsity can stand before that? Now, if you see the word, if you see the truth of something, then everything that exalts itself against it must fall away. But we then see that the children of Israel, they go up into the city. once those walls come down. So the false rationalizations that we use to justify selfish attitudes, when they come down, these truths represented by the sons of Israel are then able to be employed and move in to that city, and they are commanded to destroy everything within it. Man, woman, young and old, ox, donkey, everything. Everything that is living in it is put to the sword. Of course, the sword is the Lord's truth. And so every evil and false affection that is represented by all those living, animal and human, in that city must be put to the sword. Truths must be brought against those affections so that they can be examined and tested. And what is not of the Lord must be dealt with, and dealt with immediately when it is seen. This is what is represented here by everyone living, everything living within that city being put to death. It has to do with laying down our own life, doing away with what is selfish, and promoting what is of the Lord, what is of His Word. One is delivered from that city, one household, and that is the household of Rahab. And we saw some weeks back now that Rahab is that affection trapped within our selfishness that the Lord can use to protect truths so that this day might come about. And so it's a long process, but it is a process that every single person must pass through if they are to enter into the land of Canaan. So only Rahab is said to live. And Rahab was an ancestor of the Lord. And so she is saved that all might be saved. And so we have a beautiful picture there of the Lord's provision, of the Lord's providence at work. The other thing that could be taken from the city were the things that were of precious metal. The gold, the silver, and also the brass and the iron. These things could be taken out. Because even when we live a selfish life and testify or profess a religion, we're able to draw things out of the Lord's Word into our memory. And while these are trapped up within selfishness, they are powerless really to do anything for us. But as we begin this work of self-examination and repentance, so those things of the Lord's Word that we have taken in can be released and freed and put into His service. So the things of gold represent the golden things in the Lord's Word, things that teach us how to love the Lord. And the silver things, these represent the things that teach us how to love our neighbor. These things can be taken out because now the affections have been purified. They've been put to the sword. And we gain strength, and even at a natural level of life, represented by the brass and iron things. And so all things are beginning to be put into order. The things that are of the Lord are being extracted out from them being bound up within that city and are being brought back into their rightful place and rightful order. And this mirrors what the Lord is wanting to do with each and every one of our lives. He's wanting to put it all in order. And so we see that the city is razed. It is burnt. Evil has its own destruction within itself. And so it is laid flat, never to be rebuilt. And so it is that once the Lord takes us and helps us to overcome those things that dominate our life, so then we are not to go back. We are to hold steadfastly to His word. We are to continue in the effort so that He might be fully present with us and lead us on into what lies ahead. So the city is burnt with fire. It is never to be rebuilt. And so the power of the word to win this victory, it is affirmed in that final verse where it says, "And Jehovah was with Joshua." Jehovah was with Joshua. Jehovah, the divine good, is with the divine truth. It is with the word when it is applied to life. And his fame was in all the land. The fame of the truth of the Lord's word was throughout all the land. That land being ourselves. When we see the Lord win these victories for us, then his name is proclaimed and glorified throughout the land of our own life. Amen.